Hi, I'm Rob Dempsey from His Radio. We're a radio station in the Carolinas and Georgia. Thank you so much for tuning in to my good friend Matt Hammett today for the Lead Me Lifecast.
Well, I want to say a huge thanks to my buddy Rob for opening up the show today. Today, we're talking about the garden, but not just any garden. We're talking about your garden, your home, and the way that you view your relationships on a daily basis with the people that you love the most. We're going to be talking about what needs to go and what needs to grow right here on the Lead Me Lifecast. Here's a clip from last week's Lead Me Lifecast. Conflict is fertile ground for all this beautiful stuff to grow.
Or destruction to happen.
Or destruction. That's exactly right. It's like,
yeah,
that's exactly right. What are
conflict
you going to, you could even
ground.
Say,
yep.
What are you going to plant in the soil of conflict? When your spouse comes to you with a need or a hurt or a desire or something that may not be positive, are you going to plant a bunch of ugly weeds in your garden of love? Or are you going to plant something beautiful? And that actually leads us to an even broader topic. That was last week's episode called The Curse. Before we dive into this week's episode, I want to let you know that if you visit matthammettmusic.com, you can get information on my Lead Me Live events, a one-day men's conference, and then a concert open to everybody. There's one in Toledo, Ohio in January and Simpsonville, South Carolina in February. Don't miss it. Tickets are live. They're available now at matthammettmusic.com. So go check it out. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. This is episode 4, Life in Your Garden. Life in a thriving marriage and family is an incredibly beautiful thing. Companionship, making a home with your spouse, raising children, and building on love and memories together are just a few of the blessings that we can experience. However, as the time and love we share with those closest to us increases, so does the opportunity for conflict. In any marriage, a husband and wife will disagree over many things, but usually there's a type of conflict that both partners find extremely difficult to conquer in their relationship. Our response to these conflicts determines whether or not we will continue to enjoy the benefits of marriage and family life to their fullest. These conflicts vary between different people and marriages, but they're extremely important to identify and address on a regular basis to keep the health of your family alive. Let me help you by revisiting an area of conflict in my own marriage once again. Like many men, I often have difficulty meeting my wife's need of being heard, understood, and validated, especially when I don't understand her feelings. Instead of responding with love and patience, I've often resorted to trivializing her feelings or explaining why I didn't mean to hurt her, as if I'll reason my way into helping her feel differently. But this isn't helpful at all, and it only leaves her feeling more abandoned in her need to feel known. When her needs aren't properly addressed, her sense of emotional abandonment blossoms into hurt, resentment, contempt, anger, and bitterness. And the result is a mess of ugly weeds in our garden of love. Have you ever seen a garden that was once lush with healthy plants and flowers become overgrown by weeds that over time have suffocated its beauty? Where is the gardener, you may ask? Well, in the garden of love and marriage, it's you. God has given you the responsibility to vigilantly care for your marriage in this way, with His help. As the gardener, you have a choice. You can be mindful of the weeds in your garden as they grow and gently pluck them at the root, or you can let the weeds grow up, only to later spend countless hours and amounts of energy fighting to pull their roots from the ground, hoping to restore the beauty of what has been overtaken while you overlooked or neglected the problem. Today, I want you to ask yourself, what do I want the garden of my marriage and family to look like in a year? 10 years, 50 years from now. If you want it to be healthy and thriving, then take the time to gently pluck the weeds that are growing up in it today. Don't let them take root and suffocate the beauty of your garden tomorrow. Well, as you know already, we're talking today about the garden in a metaphorical sense. You know, we're looking at our homes and our relationships with our families, and we're looking at ourselves as, you know, quote unquote gardeners and how we care for the garden that God has given us. But I want to make sure that I throw kind of a blanket over this entire conversation, even before I let you hear it. And it's just this, it's 1 Corinthians 3. And it's Paul talking about him and his partner in ministry. He says, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord has assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul's very clear that we can work, we can labor, but without God, nothing grows as it should. And so we're going to jump into this conversation. We're going to talk very practically about some things such as what needs to go and what needs to grow, how we can assist that process. But remember, without God's help, we'll never see the full potential of our garden come to life. So when we bought the house that we currently live in, the backyard was this crazy jungle, a total mess. You could tell there were once flower beds or gardens of some sort, but they'd all just grown up and blended together into this complete mess that I didn't even know how to even start cleaning this yard up. So, you know, what we ultimately ended up doing was from the house all the way to the back fence, tearing out the entire yard and starting over from scratch, because that's pretty much what we had to do if we ever wanted to have a functional yard. The craziest part of it, though, is that we found out that the woman who lived here for 50 years before us at one point was an award-winning gardener. And that jungle, that mess of ground cover and weeds and all kinds of crazy things had once been these lush, beautiful gardens that her friends and her garden club had really enjoyed. But she grew ill in the later years of her life and sadly couldn't tend the gardens anymore. And so, you know, I do look at that and I can see a clear picture of what it can be like for us in a metaphorical sense, that just like these gardens that were once beautiful in our own backyard, you know, left untended, just totally grew into complete messes and all that beauty was choked out. In that same way, that's like our emotional life, our spiritual life, our family life, our relational life. We got to look at our home like a garden, that if we don't tend to the problems or the weeds that are growing up every single day in our garden of love and marriage and family, then those weeds, even if we don't want to deal with them right now, as hard as it is, we have to, because those weeds will grow up and they will suffocate the beauty of our life if we're too apathetic to deal with them. Here's a conversation that Sarah and I recorded about this very issue. What's the natural reaction? Like, you look at a mess. When I look out our front window and I see our weeds growing up and our landscaping. Because I'll tell you out there right now, our landscaping is not perfect, especially not right now. There are weeds growing up everywhere. There are some that are literally like up to my, past my waist. Mm-hmm. And I look at those and you know what I think to myself? I think to myself, I don't feel like pulling that right now. And I let it go and I run away. And I keep thinking, one of these days, I'm going to have to get out there and pull that weed, you know? And, you can afford to run away from your garden. And if it looks bad, well, it looks bad. And, you know, whatever. But you cannot afford to run away from the weeds in your marriage. And it's funny because we just talked about this idea of the man cave, right? How men want to retreat. They want to retreat to their little place, wherever that may be. We want to, a lot of times we want to run. We don't want to deal with the weeds in the garden of our love and marriage and home. And I think there's a level of apathy that I definitely had for most of our marriage. maybe weariness, even more than apathy. But either way, in the song "Lead Me," and he says, "Show me you're willing to fight." It's like, this is where that fight comes in. It's, are you going to fight daily to get your heart and your mind in a place where you're not going to either defend or retreat when the weeds are calling out your name? You got to come deal with me.
Some men want to run away from their garden because it seems so overwhelming and challenging. I mean, you know, there are people who run away from their families and they plant new gardens. But the truth is, no matter what garden you're in, it's going to need work and tending to. And so
that's really good.
So I feel like for men, the task of taking care of this huge kind of emotional garden, you know, because we're tending to the needs emotionally and physically. And, you know, there's different elements, but mostly emotionally, it's hard, you know? And so I think a natural response from a man who feels like he's not good enough, which we all are not good enough, and I think is to run away from it and maybe find a new garden. And I think that the truth is, even if your garden is a jungle right now, you can recover it. It's going to take time, and God, you know, Jesus is going to come alongside you and help you tend and bring back to life this garden, you know, and it is possible. With Jesus, anything is possible. So, you know, even if you're on the brink of losing your garden altogether, you can right now, as the leader of your home, come back in and literally revolutionize your garden.
I love what you said about, even if your garden looks like a jungle and you want to run away, say to yourself, if I'm literally standing in my backyard, which is overgrown by weeds and trees and ground cover and whatever else, imagine like it's a real mess that you've got to clean up. And you choose, where am I going to start today? And where am I going to start tomorrow? And where am I going to start the next day? It's your garden of love, marriage, your home. And you have to look at every single family member in your house. And you have to say, how do I look at my garden collectively as a whole? And what am I doing to work and pull the weeds from this garden collectively of our life? What needs to be there and what doesn't need to be there? What do I need to pull? What do I need to water? And with God's help, garden well and help grow up strong. And I also think you need to look at each individual member of your family. Say, look at, for me, I look at Sarah, and I think, what is in Sarah and I's relationship that is negative today that I need to lovingly pluck at the root and take care of it today so that those weeds don't grow up and suffocate the beauty of our relationship? What between Sarah and I seems to be a really positive thing? What is a life-giving trait in our marriage? How do I grow that? I look at Emmy, you know, I think Claire, Bowen, Lewis. It is hard work to be a good leader. It really is. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It feels painstaking at times because you're like, man, maybe I just got done weeding our garden. And now I need to do some weeding in Emmy's garden or Claire's garden or Bowen's garden while Lewis is screaming for me to come, you know, fix whatever problem he has going on. It can be exhausting. Here's the thing. It's not even that you always don't want to deal with them. A lot of times it's that you don't know how to deal with them. You don't know how to tackle certain problems. And then that requires figuring that out too.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to deal with those problems.
So I ask you, what needs to go and what needs to grow? How about you, Mr. Matt Hammett? What in your family?
Oh,
what in your family, like in our marriage?
Yep.
As you're tending to our Hammett garden, What do you feel between us needs to go? And what do you feel needs to grow?
For me, you know, I look at, again, the one thing that I'm continually trying to pluck out of my life and our relationship is, I'm trying to grow patience and kind of pluck out that defensive spirit so that when you do come to me and say, I've got this weed and I don't want to deal with it, that I'm learning to actually deal with it. Or step back for a second and think of how I'm going to deal with it instead of just being like, I don't want to deal with it. So that's one thing we're working on. You know, I think we're working on this schedule, planning our lives better. You know, one of the things that needed to go for me was the chaos in our life. A lot of that had to do with my work, which I talked about in the first few episodes of this. And not that work has to go, but the way I was working, aspects of it had to go.
Schedule.
For me to be healthy, and obviously, devotions, time together with you and with the kids needs to grow more. Yeah, like we get in these grooves where it's like we'll go every day for a week and then the next week it'll only be a couple times. And so we're still finding our stride in that. So I'm trying to grow that for sure. We could pluck out some of the clutter in our lives. I don't know what else. How about you?
I think I've been working on my sassiness and how I approach. I have a kind of a harsh, I didn't realize this till I watch myself on TV or hear myself back, but I'm kind of a very, my tone and the way I communicate is kind of, it's brash. And I've been told that before, but I really honestly—
You didn't believe me.
No, my heart is that it's soft and loving. And it's shocking sometimes when I hear back, just even the way I just talk. So anyways, I think I'm trying, especially when I feel offended or hurt, my response can be very, very brash and very attitude-y. So I'm working on my attitude and how I respond to feeling hurt or offended. Obviously, as a mom, we could always be more patient, you know, and I think I have a decent patient. I think I'm pretty patient, but I think I could always grow in that area. For sure, what needs to go in my garden is for sure I need to get more organized. So what needs to go is disorganization and chaos. That's something I've dealt with my whole life. But I think something that helps you and I now at this stage in the game is me naming what needs to go in my garden. And that helps you, I think, be more tolerant of it and be a little bit more understanding or empathetic because
huge,
I'm naming.
Actually. That's actually huge, is being willing to name your weakness.
Yeah.
And being bring
humble
it into the
and
light.
Just, I mean, well, and yeah, right. Yeah. Being able to see it, name it, talk about it. You know, for years, many, many, many years, Matthew and I both had a really hard time just talking about our weaknesses. It's just kind of going, I've learned to literally go, I'm terrible at doing laundry. I'm not very good. And I'm bad at keeping my art areas very clean. And I'm bad at schedule organizing. And it's okay. I'm still a good person. Like God is still using me and I still feel very secure and confident, but at the same time I can look at those and go, I definitely need to work on those things. And it's okay if my husband brings that to my attention in a loving way. Like it's okay if he goes, hey, the bedroom's driving me crazy, which it is right now. And it should. It's a disaster. But I mean.
But I have to. Here's the thing, too. As the gardener, it's like I also have to lovingly tend, the garden. You can't just like start going all machete on everything. You know what I mean?
Then which I think in the past.
It takes time. It takes time to artfully garden things.
Yeah, you know? Because like I think in the past you would have macheted like, holy moly, this bedroom is going, I'm gonna go crazy.
Or I would go on like the silent treatment cleaning binge.
Or I would
which
just
is where like I go totally
silent.
I go totally silent and then I go on like in a nuts all night cleaning binge to like make a point that it can be done.
Yeah, totally.
It's terrible. It's not, it's like punishment cleaning or something.
Yeah.
Which it's funny because I haven't done that in a long time, but now I still notice sometimes when I get on a cleaning binge, you're kind of like, I can see you kind of looking at me like,
I'm scared.
Is everything okay? But anyways.
No, the truth is I'm scared.
Yeah, you're scared that I'm angry and I'm not ever anymore. I've learned, I've been humbled partly.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we've gone through some things that have humbled us both. But
yeah, I've learned to see my weaknesses and accept, you know, that, man, by the grace of God, I have you. Goodness gracious. So it's like, I think to myself, well, who am I? You know, so I can.
Getting rid of that self-righteous attitude, maybe.
Yeah,
that's a
self-righteousness
huge thing.
And
self-righteousness
contempt.
Is very tricky. Like that is a crazy beast that I have seen. In wonderful godly men, like literally.
Yeah. And women.
And women, absolutely.
Self-righteousness is in all of us.
It's in all
in
of
its
us.
In its own way. We
absolutely.
Always, it is our nature, every one of us, to look at the speck in somebody else's eye and not be able to see the log in our own. Well, as you've discovered, Sarah and I could talk forever, but we're running out of time for today. And I want to leave you with one final challenge. I want you to look at your spouse. I want you to look at your kids, the people you love, and maybe even just write it down today and say, I want to take a look at my garden. What needs to go? What needs to grow? And with God's help, how can I make my garden a more beautiful place today? And here's a clip from next week's episode of the Lead Me Lifecast.
So it's very easy when we walk in the door and all the kids come by and, Daddy, Daddy. But one of the things, and I don't always get this right, but one of the things that I'm doing as I'm picking up the kids is I'm going to my wife to give her a kiss because I want her to always know that she's number one. And as I said, I don't win at this all the time. But my goal is to love my wife first. And that principle 100% comes from my dad. And that's a legacy that I'm going to do everything in me that hopefully when I'm 50, 60 years old, people can say, my kids can say, hey, you know what? The best thing that my dad ever did was love my mother well. And because of that, I'm rich with love because I've seen the example of the way that I should love.
Well, that's next week on the Lead Me Lifecast. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a conversation with a dear friend of mine, Luke Smallbone from For King and Country. Hey, don't forget to go to matthammettmusic.com. Check out the blog, music, and also, don't forget to check out the Lead Me Live events. If you're near Toledo or Simpsonville, South Carolina, you can buy your tickets today for the Lead Me Live events. Also, do me a huge favor. Give me a big thumbs up on the Matt Hammett Facebook page. Don't forget to join me and Luke Smallbone from For King and Country next week on the Lead Me Lifecast.
You have a broken crown and you've had it for 2 months. And I think I think just now I thought to myself, I should just call and book the schedule. I should just schedule it for him. I don't think he's going to fix his
tooth
actually unless
really,
I do it.
Really funny because, probably a couple months ago, I ate a frog leg in like Southern Alabama and it was fried and I don't eat frog legs. I forgot there was a bone in it.
Yeah.
Bit into it, lost my crown.
Yep.
It wasn't like a crown that covers like my tooth. It's not all the way through. It's just like part of my tooth.
Yeah.
So I'm not in pain. However, yes, I have.
You should probably get it fixed.
I should probably get it fixed.